The scripture reading is from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 18, beginning in verse 21. Matthew 18, beginning in verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, "Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times?" Jesus saith unto him, "I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out, and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet, and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses." Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Let us turn then to the Heidelberg Catechism and read Lord's Day 51. Lord's Day 51, question number 126. Which is the fifth petition of the Lord's Prayer? Answer: And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That is, be pleased for the sake of Christ's blood not to impute to us poor sinners our transgressions, nor that depravity which always cleaves to us, even as we feel this evidence of thy grace in us, that it is our firm resolution from the heart to forgive our neighbor.
Dear congregation, with the help of the Lord, we want to preach the gospel to you according to Lord's Day 51. And we write above our sermon, I think, the most important thing in our life for you children. What do you think? What's the most important thing? When you could do a wish? When I was a child, I never forget, 7 years old, people told me, that when you saw at night the first star, you could do a wish, and that wish should happen. I really believed it. And at the night I saw the first star. And I had such an old little bike. I was so willing and desiring, longing for a new bike. But we couldn't pay that. That was quite impossible. And I never forget the struggle in my heart. A new heart, forgiveness, peace with God, or a new bike. And I said very loud, a new heart. And at the same time I felt that my heart was saying, a new bike. And how good, endless good is the Lord, that He didn't give me a new bike, but by His grace, a new heart. And He is able and willing to give it you too. Our heart is evil. We make the wrong choice. We say a lot with our lips, which is not really true in our heart. The Lord knows our heart. But He is willing, mighty, to change everything so that we with all our heart cry and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us our debts. That's the only thing. Other things are not so important. Forgiveness. Forgive me. Personal forgiveness. That's what we need above all things. More than eat and drink. Well, the first point about we want to think is the necessity of forgiveness. The need. The utterly need of forgiveness. In the second point, we see the reason for forgiveness. Forgiveness is possible. Forgiveness is obtainable. But why? And how? And in the third point, we see the fruit of forgiveness. Even as we feel this evidence of Thy grace in us, that it is our firm resolution from the heart to forgive our neighbor. Forgive us our debts. The necessity, the reason, and the fruit. Dear congregation, in the parable we read, there is an enormous difference between the two debts. My dear children, you all heard it. There was a man with a great debt, thousands of talents, 10,000 talents. When we try to compare that with the value of money in our time, it's an amount of about $100 billion. $100 billion. What an enormous amount. When something should come to you and say, you have to pay me $100 billion. Come. Then we had to say, when I had 10,000 lives,
I couldn't pay that.
The other man, well, he had a debt too. When we compare it with the money in our time, it was about $15,000. That's quite a debt, but not so very much. It's possible to pay the debt and to save for it. The first man, he got forgiveness. And that's what we need too. Forgiveness. For our debt against God is far more than $100 billion. Do you see that? Did you see that? For that's so terrible. That we are so superficial. That we think so light about our sin, about our debt. That must change. That's conversion. That's the turn. And that's the beginning. When there comes no change, we stay people who say, yes, we are sinners, we are poor sinners, but Jesus died for sinners, so I believe that. But it's nothing. It's no reality. We don't really feel how great is our debt. How impossible it is to live. All religions of the world has the same main thing. What? Well, to deserve the grace of God. To do it. That's our nature. Lord, wait, I shall pay everything. I shall live for thee. I shall go to the church. I shall read good books. I shall. Stop! In all that you are doing and promising, you are only sinning. There is an enormous amount of guilt and sin in every human life. The sin of our first parents. Did you ever see in your life that sin as your sin? Adam, Eve, rebellion against God, away out of paradise, a heart full of enmity, full of corruption, thoughts, feelings, quite corrupted, always sinning, nothing doing, something other than sinning. Sinning all my life, sinning all the time, sinning in all what I think, I feel, I want, I say, I do. That's the reality. That's the truth. That's a sinner. Don't you like to hear that? Do you really agree? Do you see the necessity, the absolute necessity of forgiveness in your life? That's what we are taught here in our catechism. That's the prayer of the fifth petition.
that is, be pleased, for the sake of Christ's blood, not to impute to us, poor sinners. Poor sinners. O Lord, open our eyes, and open our eyes more and more, that we see how we really are. That we are really be humbled. That we become really nothing. That all our possibilities fly away. That there is no worthiness in us at all. Let us see that really, O Lord, that must be our prayer. Poor sinners. A sinner, what is that? A man who has and is and does only sin. Nothing more.
Can I not do any good? When I love my parents, when I obey them, when I take care for them, is there no good in me? No good. In the eyes of the Holy God, when we stand before His holy law, the demand of perfectness, and the demand of the holy law of God must be pressed in our soul. For otherwise, we are and stay very proud people. Rather good people, sinners, of course, but not too bad. Not too bad. Not the chief of sinners. Who is here, really, the chief of sinners? Who came here today and said in his heart to the Lord, O Lord, I am not worthy the least place in thy house. I am not worthy that I may hear thy glorious gospel. For I am a sinner and the chief of sinners. The chief sinner of Grand Rapids, of the United States, of all the world. I hear a man. You know him too, I think. It's a man of God. It's a wonderful preacher. Powerful preacher. What is his witness? Me, the chief of sinners, the Apostle Paul, I obtained mercy, forgiveness, mercy only. That's what the Holy Spirit teaches us. And when the devil is trying to make us a believer, and he is very successful in the church, then he takes it somewhat easy with sin. And when you meet a man who takes it easy with sin, you know that such a man or woman is not taught by the Spirit of God. Our guilt, our sin, is extremely great. So great that it is quite eternal impossible to be loosed from it by ourselves. And when the Holy Spirit is working in the heart of a sinner, then we are really convicted of our sin. And that begins where the Lord begins. And that's a process which is continuing our whole life. Maybe you heard once of the great divine John Owen, a very well-known divine, and he was laying on his starving bed. He was in his last moments, and people asked to him, "How are you now, Mr. Owen?" And then he said, I begin to become the great sinner before God. I begin to become the great sinner before God. Oh, how we need to feel more and more the necessity of the forgiveness of our sin. And we never end and become ready at this school as long as we are at the side of the grave. Our catechism says it and teaches it us, the true conversion is the mortification of sin and is a sincere sorrow of heart. Never forget it. But it's still far more worse. We are not only sinners, for we are accustomed to that word. But when I should visit you, your pastor, and come in your house, an unexpected I should say to you, you are a criminal. Bah! Then you should be shocked. You should be angry. I am a criminal. No. How can you say that? I try to live according to the word of God. I never killed anybody. I try to be honest. And you say you are a criminal. And yet you are. And when I say it here, you are a transgressor. You are a sinner. Then you say, yes, Pastor. That's according to the word of God. You are right. You have to say that. You have to preach that. That's the truth. But when we are not in the church, we are in our home, and we hear, you are a criminal, then we become angry. Is it not true that? Are you not really convicted of it? For in the Dutch translation of the Heidelberg Catechism, that's still more clear. Here is spoken of transgressions, but in the Dutch translations, it's translated by crimes. Every sin is a crime. Every sin makes us a criminal. Every sinful thought, every sinful feeling, every sinful word, and all our thoughts, all our feelings, all our words and deeds are full of sin. When you are in a room just cleansed, you are ready, Mother. You cleanse your room. Everything is nice. But then there comes the sun. He shines through the window. And what do you see? My room is full of dust. Full. Quite full. You see it only by the light of the sun. By nature alike, we see some sin. We agree when we are brought up among the means of grace that we are sinners. But by the light of the Holy Spirit, we see it. And we confess it with the sorrow of our heart. I am quite sin. My sins are not light. There are no small sins. The devil let us think that. Oh, that's not so bad. Everybody does that sometimes. A little lie only. A small lie.
I once asked to one of my young people, I said, Gerrit, when you in your whole life had no sin, quite not, except one sinful thought, not more. Gerrit, are you lost or are you saved then? Only one sinful thought, one time. And he thought about it. And he said, Pastor, then I'm lost. I said, right, boy. Every sin is endless, terrible. And the Holy Spirit let us see it. For it is sin against God. Sin against the overflowing fountain of all good. Crimes, transgressions, no light sins, no small sins, but every sin, a crime. And yes, the child of God feels it. Also, when we know something of forgiveness, when we know in our own experience what is peace with God, then sin stays and becomes more and more our problem. Our daily sorrow, our cross. Nor the depravity which always cleaves to us. Always, in all what we do, in our holiest things, in our praying, in our preaching, in our listening, when we are sitting and speaking and preaching and praying and singing here, we are sinning. We don't feel that, maybe. My dear children, when you lie, your conscience still says you, I'm sinning now. When you do something what your parents forbade you, you are not so quiet. But when you are praying, when you have been to the church, then you have not the feeling, I have sinned, isn't it? Or do you see it? In all my life, in all what I do, in no time, I can be which I ought to be. And by grace, are willing to be, the desire to be perfect, to be without sin, the hate against sin. That's what the Spirit is working in the heart of all His children. When the love of God is poured out in our soul, we receive at the same moment such a hate against sin, we cannot longer live in it and with it. We want to be loosed of it. O Lord, forgive us. Forgive us. We need forgiveness. For without forgiveness, we are really lost. When you live without forgiveness, you don't live in the communion with the Lord. You live your own life in darkness, in enmity, and are building up your own guilt and your own punishment higher, higher. It is a mountain which you cannot put away. It's impossible to push away the mountain. And that's what every true believer feels when we are really convicted of sin. I never can push away that mountain of sins. I can only make him higher and higher. Oh Lord, I need thee. Yet I cannot miss it. I cannot live with my sin and live in my sin. When my soul is thirsting to God, the living God, then there is only one way to be reconciled, to come in sweet and tender communion with the Lord. Forgiveness. And there is forgiveness. That's the wonderful gospel. That's the wonderful message. When you alone had all the sin of the whole world, then I may preach you that there is forgiveness. Oh, I know that when we really see our sin, our nature, there can be times in our life, congregation, that everyone can be saved except me, such a sinner. And what a wonderful grace. And the Lord reveals his forgiving love in Christ Jesus. When our soul is crying, forgive us and forgive me our debts. We need forgiveness. When we have forgiveness, really, reality, wonderful divine reality, then we are reconciled with God. Then we are on the narrow way to eternal life. Then hell is closed for us and heaven is open. We need forgiveness. That's the main point of the gospel. There is forgiveness. Why? What's the reason of forgiveness? Well, friends, I mentioned first some things which are the reasons not, and yet we often think it. What's not the reason? Well, the knowledge of our sin. Of course, we need really, by the convicting, working and power of the Holy Spirit, to know our sin. And when the Lord is dealing with us in a saving way, he always goes that way with us. There are a lot of voices who say that's not so important to know your sin. You are looking, must look to Christ. But they are deceiving you. One of our old divines in Holland wrote, pray the Lord for two eyes. Two opened eyes. One eye to see yourself, your sin. And one eye to see Christ. In his abundant love, in his precious righteousness. The knowledge of our sin is necessary, cannot be missed, shall not be missed, on the narrow way to heaven. But it can never be the reason of forgiveness. Sometimes you can ask to yourself, do I know my sin? Really? Enough? And then I must say to you, you never know your sin and sinfulness and sinful nature enough. Never. And then you knew your sinfulness 1,000 times better than now, then you knew only very little of it.
There has been only one man who had perfect knowledge of sin. The man Christ Jesus. He knew in the depth what is really sin. He bore the sin of the world, an endless, heavy burden. He knows it. And He teaches it by His Holy Spirit. But we cannot know really the burden, the full burden of our sin.
And yet when we are His disciple on His school, He shall humble us more and more and show us more and more how we are. And that's the desire of the new life. O Lord, make me more and more humble. Let me more and more see my sin, my unworthiness. But the knowledge of our sin is not the reason for forgiveness.
What is not the reason either, that is the repentance for our sin. Of course, dear congregation, we need repentance. One of the first things which the Lord said when He began His preaching was, repent. And where the Lord is beginning His saving work, it begins through repentance, breaking of the heart, crying of the soul to the living God, crying for forgiveness and reconciliation, communion with God, the living God.
But repentance, how tender, how precious it is. It can never be the reason of forgiveness of our sin. And sometimes, also after received grace, our eyes can be so dry. Our hearts can be so hard. And we often have to say, O Lord, where is my repentance? Maybe there were times that you wept in hidden places, that your soul was crying for forgiveness. And the Lord gave forgiveness. But repentance was not the reason. It was the way, and is the way, in which the Lord works it. But it is never the reason. For our repentance is so imperfect, is so partly. It ought to be more, oh, that my head were water, but it isn't. Not our tears, not our repentance, not the brokenness of our heart can be the reason of forgiveness. What is it then? Do you know it already? Do you know it in your own soul, in your own experience, where the ground and the reason, the foundation of forgiveness is? For that's what we need. The fountain of forgiveness is quite outside us, in the eternal love of the Triune God. From all eternity, God made His counsel of peace. And He provided forgiveness. Not for anything in us. Not because He foresaw that sinners should repent. On the contrary. How endless sad is the doctrine of Arminianism. It's His free, sovereign grace only. It is all His own mercy
His own goodness from all eternity. His own love. Wonderful. Then the Lord opens that for your soul. Then you receive forgiveness really. When the love comes as a dear wonder in your heart. And He brings you back. There is the foundation. There are the roots of forgiveness, which I enjoy now. Well, the roots are in the eternal love of the Triune God, in God Himself. Out of that love came the sending of His Son. God prepared forgiveness. God provided forgiveness completely and fully in the sacrifice of His only begotten and dear beloved Son. And the foundation and reason of forgiveness we only see in the sacrifice, the death of Christ. Therefore, we are taught here that is, be pleased for the sake of Christ's blood. For the sake of Christ's blood. That's the fountain opened against our transgressions. And when that blood comes in our soul, by the applying work, we can't miss that. By the applying work of the Holy Spirit, then the cleansing power of that blood becomes a sweet reality in our heart. And our sins fall away. And we have sweet communion with the Lord. Then we are really looking unto Jesus and practice and exercise the saving faith. He died for my sin. And the peace of God, which goes above all understanding, fulfills our heart as the greatest wonder of our life. Forgiveness. What an endless sweet thing. What an endless wonder, congregation, is that only one word, forgiveness. My son, your sin are forgiven. Your sin are laid on the Lamb of God. And there on the cross, He took away your sin. Personal reality, wonderful grace. In my heart, the peace of God. Maybe you know, my dear children, that wonderful story. The man who came through the roof. The man was lame. He couldn't walk. And he was laid down before the Lord Jesus. And everyone expected that the Lord should say, "Spring up, go up, and walk." But that did the Lord not say later on. But the first thing the man could hear, "My son, your sins are forgiven." And that's what we need, everyone here, to hear from his own lips, in the power of his Spirit, by his dear word, personal applied. The blood of Christ to my heart. Forgiveness, a sweet, wonderful reality. And then there are moments that there is nothing between the Lord and our soul. Nothing. My sins are all taken away, laid on the Lamb, and the way is open. To the throne of grace, to the heart of God, to eternal life. And our sins are away, and forgiveness means taken up and brought away, laid upon another one, my sin laid on the Lamb of God. And now I stand before God as I never had sinned, and all my sins are forgiven. The sins of Adam and Eve, the sins of my youth, the sins of my deepest heart, the sins which knows nobody than the Lord alone, the sins of the future, all my sins, my whole sinful life is taken away, and the righteousness of Christ and the life of Christ is given me by His grace only for the blood of Christ, for the sake of Christ's blood, not to impute to us poor sinners our transgressions. That's the prayer, that's the longing, and the experience of it, the reality of it. That's the spiritual hunger of a real child of God, of a true believer. For it's the prayer of a true believer. I once preached in a congregation, and I was called on Monday, a very nice lady, I never met her. And she said, "Pastor, I enjoyed your sermon very much, but one thing I didn't agree. You gave the congregation to sing, 'Forgive me all my sin.'" She said, "But I didn't sing with the congregation, for 2 years ago the Lord has forgiven all my sin. So I need that prayer not." Well, I said, "Poor lady, I don't know you, but out of what you are saying, I know that you not know really what forgiveness is. When you think you don't need forgiveness, when you have no spiritual hunger and thirst to the fresh applying of the blood of Christ, when you don't want to drink out that cup of salvation, then you really don't know what forgiveness is. Then you are deceived by the Satan. The reality, the wonderful reality of forgiveness, that's sweet. That's the bread of life. That's Christ eat it and drunk. That's what He is saying on His table. That's what He gives in the heart of His people. This is my body. For forgiveness, broken for forgiveness, for all your sin, all your sin." I remember that in my last congregation, we had our communion, and the Lord comforted my soul very much at the table by this word, all. For people of God, how elder we are becoming, how more sinful, for our feeling we are sinning more. Not our feeling is it, but believing. Resting in the sacrifice of Christ, and then to receive the power. Oh, my sin. And at that moment you are free. Free in the freedom of the Savior. Oh, my sin. We need it. And it's obtainable. It's offered. Christ is offered to sinners. He is willing. He is able to forgive your sin. Therefore He came. His sacrifice is the foundation and the reason of forgiveness. His blood is the fountain opened against our transgressions. And what's the fruit when we really enjoy and know this prayer? What's the fruit? Well, we see it in the third place. Even as we feel this evidence of thy grace
in us, that it is our firm resolution from the heart to forgive our neighbor, to forgive our neighbor. Can you forgive? That's the proof. So many people say we believe. We go to heaven. We believe in the forgiving love of God in Christ Jesus. We are believers. Like that man from the parable. But when the proof came, he failed. When he had to forgive, he couldn't. Why not? Because he never, in reality, felt the wonder of forgiving. Because he never really saw the greatness of his own death. It was only theory, no practice, no reality. And that's not what we need. We need reality. Forgiveness makes us a new man. When we really have and experience forgiveness, it becomes easy to forgive another one. When we really see our debt against God, and more are impressed by the greatness of our sin, yet the Lord, in His great mercy, forgave us. What's then the sin of people against us? 15,000 against 100 billion. That's the parable of the Lord Jesus. It's not so easy, congregation, to forgive really with our whole heart. In Holland, people sometimes say, I shall forgive it, but never forget it. But forgiving is also forgetting. Forgiving is away. It doesn't longer exist. It's no longer between us. As if it never had been. I throw your sin in the depths of the sea away. When God forgives us, in some sense, He forgets it. It's away, forever and ever, into all eternity, never comes back. It's a total forgiveness. It's a total love, divine love, when we really have forgiveness. When we have forgiveness, Christ came in our soul by His Holy Spirit. Only when we are in true faith united with Christ, we have forgiveness and we know what forgiveness is. And His love, His feeling, comes in our heart and renews us. Really, we see the things in heavenly reality. And the feeling of Jesus Christ rules our feelings 77 times. What it is, how often it was. And it can be very hard, of course. People can do terrible things with us, with our children. And they abuse them,
terrible. And yet, forgive. When they kill our own child, and then really forgive, it's impossible from human side. But when the forgiving love of God in Christ, it happens. It shall happen. We can. Not from ourselves out, but by the love of Christ, we can love our enemies. We can pray for them. Stephen, his last words were for his murderers. That's the love of Christ. Lay not this sin upon them. Take away this sin from them. They hate him, they kill him, and yet he loves them. That's the evidence. Forgiveness is not so cheap. Forgiveness is the most wonderful thing in human life. By forgiveness, we really become a new creature in Christ. A man by nature can never really forgive. When they do evil things to us, to our children, how often we hear it, "I can never forgive." It stays between us. Forgive us, O Lord. As we forgive our debtors, the guilt of people towards us, that what people can do against us, it's so small compared with what I did against thee, O Lord. And yet thou gavest me, the chief of sinners, forgiveness. How more that is reality, how easier it is to forgive really. Sometimes it's not possible to forgive when people don't have repentance, when people continue in their sin. And therefore it's so nice declared here, even as we feel this evidence of thy grace, thy changing loving grace, thy renewing grace. That's the evidence of thy grace. Nothing from me, but only thy grace. That it is our firm resolution, our deepest desire to forgive. When a man comes to me, he tried to kill me, he abused me, and he says really, with a repentant heart, "Forgive me." It's not difficult to do, for we are glad when a sinner comes back. The Lord is glad too. The angels are glad too. There is gladness tonight in heaven. And here is a child, a boy, a man or a woman, who with all his heart cries, "And forgive us. Also here, not me. Also it's personal forgiveness, of course. But we are very careful. We take much care also for the forgiveness of our fellow sinners. When we received forgiveness really, then it's possible for everyone. When such a sinner as I am yet received forgiveness, then it's possible for the whole world. That's the love of Christ hidden in this precious prayer. Forgive us. Forgive us. O Lord, let me be a loving, a re-loving man who enjoys forgiveness, who can forgive, and who is working and praying that also other sinners may obtain forgiveness, eternal love, eternal life. Blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven, whose transgressions are taken away, reconciled with God, one with Him, longing for the place where this prayer is not longer needed. It's a prayer for here. It's a prayer as long as we live here, congregation. But soon comes the time, people of God, that we don't need this prayer, that we never can sin, that we have come to our chief end, the full knowledge and glory of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's the future of the church. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Let us thank and pray now. O great and wonderful Savior, overflowing fountain of forgiving love, in abundance, O Lord, may our eyes look upon Thee, rest in Thee, and experience by the Holy Spirit for the first time, but also fresh and more, Thy forgiving love, that the love of Christ may fill us, and that the love of Christ may go out of us, so that we have a forgiving mind, a loving mind, and that there may be something visible in our life from the love of Christ. O Lord, we ask Thy pardon also for this service. In our holiest things, we need the blood. And give us, O God, the power of that blood. Go with us to our homes. Help us in our work at school, where we have a place on this earth. O Lord, make us stranger, a pilgrim, a witness, and give us so much love that it is our desire to win others for Thee, that we may be a shining light, and that the warmth of the love of Christ may go out of us. O Lord, be with us, prepare us, and see upon us only in the Redeemer's name. Amen.